Shalom to all. Today's office of Bobasa of Kuf Gimel. We are starting Kuf Bezom and Bez right at the beginning of the brand new parak. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And this tells us Zomil Chaveroi. A person tells his friend, base kur afar ani marchalacha. I'm selling you a base kur of afar. Now let's just pause over here and focus on these words. By saying the word afar, he indicates that it's for planting. Therefore, it has to be suitable and can't have irregularities which prevent him from planting there. Furthermore, he said base kur, indicating that he's going to give him a full base kur and not just an approximate amount. And now knowing that, the Mishnah continues, Hayusham Nakaima Mukam Asar Tfachim. Let's say there are these clefts, these ditches that are 10 tfachim deep, or rocks that are 10 tfachim high, they're not measured with this base core of land. They're looked at as something totally different. They're not part of the property, and therefore the seller has to make sure to give him a full base core, not including these rocks or ditches. However, Pachas Mikan, if it's less than this, meaning if they're not 10 tfachim high or deep, Nimdadim Ima, they are measured with it, and the guy has to accept it. Because at the end of the day, every single piece of property is going to have some sort of irregularity, a few rocks, a few ditches, and as long as they're not 10 tefachim deep or 10 tefachim high, he would have to accept those. Now, Vim Amar Lai, if he had told him, Ki base kor afar, I'm selling you about a base kor of land, afilu hayusham nekayim mukim yaser masar tefachim, oislam gvayim yaser masar tefachim, harelon nimdadim ima, even if the rocks or the ditches are 10 tefachim, it's still included in the sale, because since he told him, Ki base kor afar, about a base kor of land, so here he's giving him an entire base kor, not all of it is plantable, but that's not a problem, because it doesn't have to be precisely a base kor of plantable land, it's almost a base kor. And the Gemara begins by telling us, Tanan Hasan, we have a mission over there, Maseches Arachin, and this is all about being Makdish a field. So let's just pause over here to explain. We know that a person can be Makdish a field and also redeem it afterwards. However, there's a difference on what type of property it is. There's a Steachuza, ancestral land, which was given to his family when Eretz Yisrael was divided by Yeshua, and there's also regular property. So if a person's Makdish regular property, it's redeemed at its market value. A Steachuza, on the other hand, works differently. The Pasuk tells us that it has a particular amount. Zera Chaimer Sa'irim, an area where a Chaimer of barley is planted, which is a base car, is redeemed at 50 shekels. And now this refers to when Yovel was in effect and the land was Muktish at the beginning of the Yovel cycle, then the redemption price is 50. As the years go on, the fewer years till Yovel, the less one redeems it for, subtracting a little bit more than a shekel per year. So now knowing that, the Gemara tells us this Mishnah, Hamach Sadeu Bishasa Yovel, if a person's Muktish is Stea Chuza at the time when Yovel is Nayeg, Nois and Loy Lebe Zara Chaimer Sa'irim, Chamishim Shekel Kasef, per every area of land that a Chaimer of barley could be planted, which we just said was a base car, he has to pay 50 shekel in order to redeem it. However, Hayusham Nukama Mukim Yutfachim, Oislam Gvaim Yutfachim, if the rocks or ditches that are 10 tefachim high or deep, kuf gimel raf on top, ein nimdadim ima, they are not measured as part of this land, and therefore they're redeemed at a totally different rate. They are considered muktish because they were part of the field when he was makdish it, but they're not considered a stei achuza, they're just considered regular property that was muktish, and they're redeemed at their value. However, the Mishnah says, pachas mikan, if they're less than this, nimdadim ima, then they're judged as part of it. So now the question is, vamai, why would this be? Why are you telling me that if they're 10 tefachim high or deep, they're not considered part of the field at all, and they're considered muktish like just a regular thing, and they're redeemed at their value? Like let them become kadosh by themselves. Meaning, you want to say they're not considered part of the field because they're too tall or deep? No problem. But at least consider them like property. For example, a ditch which is 10 tefachim deep, you could still plant in it. It's still usable land, and therefore should be at least treated like a stei achuza by itself and redeem it based off of the value of a stei achuza. Again, it's not going to be part of the same cheshbin as the main stei achuza that you were makdish, but it's still considered a separate stei achuza, albeit a smaller one, but still a stei achuza that's redeemed at this value of 50 shekels. And the chitim, if you want to suggest that the reason why we can't say that is kim deloy have a base car loy kachi, since these aren't the size of a base car, it's just a ditch which is 10 tefachim deep and it's not a huge area, it doesn't become kaddish in the first place as a stei achuza. That's not true, because Batani, we have a brass that says very clearly sadeh matam aloymer. Why does the pasuk have to tell us the word sadeh? And that's because the fish and emmer, since the pasuk tells us zara chaimer sa'arim chamishim shekel kasef, that an area where chaimer of barley is planted, that's redeemed at the rate of 50 shekel. And li el shekdish be'inyan hazeh, I only know that a person has to redeem this value if he's makdish this size, a full base car. But minayin the rabbis lesech v'chatzi lesech saw tarkov v'chatzi tarkov. How do I know that if he's makdish a smaller piece of property, it's not a base car? It's a lesech. It's half a lesech, a saw, a tarkov, or half a tarkov. How do we know that even in that case, he's going to redeem it based off of the cheshbin, the proportion of 50 shekel for the yovel cycle? Tam loymer sadeh. That's what the pasuk tells us. Sadeh mikol makayim mashma. No matter what size stei achuza he's makdish, it's redeemed based on this proportion. So for example, if he's makdish only half of a car, it's redeemed at a rate of 25 shekel, not at 50, because again, it's half the size of a base car. But either which way, we see that it doesn't make a difference what the size of the stei achuza is. It's still redeemed based off of this cheshbon of 50 shekel. And so it should be the same exact thing with these ditches that are 10 tefachim deep. Again, they might not be counted as part of the main stei achuza that he was makdish because they're too irregular, they're too deep, but still they're plantable by themselves and they should be considered a stei achuza, not just regular property that's redeemed at its market value. From Rav Bar Chama, he answers that no. Over here, when we're talking about hektish, these nekayim, these ditches that are 10 tefachim deep, are are full of water, the Labanizrianin, who they can't be planted and therefore not considered like land at all. It's considered like property of sorts, but it's not considered like a steachuza, and that's why it's redeemed at a totally different value. And the Kanami is actually medoik like this, diktani, because what does the Mishnah say? Domya de slime. It's similar to rocks. It said that the rocks were 10 tefachim tall, or the ditches were 10 tefachim deep. And the same way that you can't plant on a rock, it must be that the ditches that we're talking about also are not able to be planted in because they have water, and that's why they're redeemed at a totally different value. Shmami, no, that's all right. That's how we understand this Mishnah. However, it's important to point out that if these ditches that were 10 tefachim deep did not have water in them and they were plantable, then they would be considered like a steachuza. Now we ask on this explanation, if this is really so that they're full of water, then afilu pachtmi kanami, even if they're less than 10 tefachim deep, they shouldn't be counted as part of the land because you can't plant in them. But the Mishnah said very clearly that if they're less than 10 tefachim deep, then they are counted as part of the land. So the Gemara answer is no. Hani nagani da'ara mikru, meaning ditches or holes that are less than 10 tefachim deep, are called cracks of the land, meaning they're just called a crack in the land, but not something totally separate. And also, shadri da'ara mikru, these are called spines of the land, namely rocks that are less than 10 tefachim high are termed as if they're the spine of the land, if you will, and it's the same thing. It's as if they're part of the property, there's just some sort of slight irregularity in it, and they're not looked at as totally different. It's only when they're 10 tefachim tall or 10 tefachim deep, then they're looked at as something completely different. Something where it brings us to our Mishnah. Hachamai, what about over here? Let's say in the case of our Mishnah, where the fellow said, I'm selling you a base core of afar, and there was a ditch that was 10 tefachim deep that did not have water in it. Do we treat it like hektish, that's considered part of the land, or do we say that no, when we're talking about a mechira, it's different, and even though it doesn't have water in it, it's still not considered part of the land? So Amar Papa, Papa answers, even though it's not full of water, it's still not considered part of the land. My time, well, why is that? Why are we saying that in the case of mechira, it's different than hektish? And the answer is because ein adam roitz shitin ma'isav makam echad v'yiru loy kishnayim shlashim makamais. A person doesn't want to give his money for one area, and it looks like two or three areas. In other words, when a person buys a piece of property, he wants to plow and cultivate and do stuff in it. He wants one contiguous area of a base car, and that's it. He's not interested in it being broken up into separate sections because it has these huge ditches in them. And even though you could plant in the ditch, it's very difficult. It's not plowable with the rest of the land. You'd have to maneuver the plow around it, and therefore it's not considered part of the sale, again, even though it doesn't have water in it. However, Maslai Ravina, Ravina asked, but Domi Dislam Ketani, in our Mishnah, we teach that these ditches are just like rocks. Maslaim Lav Benezrianinhu, Afhaninami de Lav Benezrianinhu. The same way that you can't plant on a rock, it must be that these Nakayim, these ditches that we're talking about in the Mishnah, also are Lav Benezria, and that's the only time it's not included in the sale. But if it was Benzria, you could plant in it, albeit with difficulty, it should be included in the sale. So Gemara says, no, Kiketani Domi Dislam, Apachas Mikan. When is it that our Mishnah is comparing the rocks and the ditches? That's only when they're less than 10 tefachim, then we say that they have the same din and they're included as part of the sale. But in case where the 10 tefachim or more, then obviously the slime and the ditches are different, and even though the ditch could be planted, it's still not counted as part of the land. Now going on to the next part of the Mishnah where we had said, Pachas Mikanim Dadamima, that if they're not 10 tefachim, so then they are measured as part of the land, we'd explain that's because every single property is going to have some sort of irregularities, and so the buyer does have to accept them if they're less than 10 tefachim. Now Amar Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak explains, Trashim Sha'amru, these rocks that we're talking about, namely if there's rocks that are less than 10 tefachim, then have to be accepted based Arbas Kabin. It's only if it's a maximum of 4 kav of rocks. It can't be that there's more than 4 kav of slime in this area of a base core, because then it's just too rocky and you're not able to cultivate it and plow it properly. So anything up until 4 kav is okay. More than that, it's a problem. Even though, again, they're less than 10 tefachim. Now, Omar Avok Barachama, he clarifies, it has to be that these 4 kav of rock are absorbed into an area of 5 kav. Then we say the customer has to accept them. However, if the 4 kav of rock are scattered across less than an area of 5 kav, so then it's considered too rocky and this area is not included in the sale, the customer doesn't have to accept it. However, Rav Chiya Bar Abba quotes Rav Yechanan saying that no, it has to be they're absorbed, meaning they're scattered across the majority of the field. Only then do we say that the customer has to accept them. But let's say we have 4 kav of rock that's scattered only across half of the field and not the majority, then that's considered too rocky, there's too much here, and the customer doesn't have to accept it. Now, by Rav Chiya Bar Abba just asked, trying to understand Rav Yechanan's shita, Ruben b'miyuto, miyutan b'ruba mahu. Let's say the majority of these 4 kav of rocks is scattered across a miyut of the field, and the rest of those rocks are in the majority of the field, or the other way around. How do we view this? Do we say it's a problem or not? I would conclude with the answer, teku. Now, by Rabbi Yirmi asked similar questions, and all those questions are the same idea. Even if these rocks are scattered across the majority of the field, perhaps if they're arranged in a particular formation, perhaps we're going to say that it's still too difficult for the buyer to plow this field, and that he doesn't have to accept even this amount of rocks, even though it's spread across the majority of the field. So here we begin with the way that it's the easiest to plow. Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph on top, Kishir Mahu. Let's say the rocks are set up in a shear, in a circle. Now, even though we have a picture drawn over here in the Rashbam, if the rocks were set up like this in the field, it would be very difficult to plant, perhaps the most difficult, and we're talking about a situation where it's going to be the easiest to plow. And therefore, it's more logical to say that we're just talking about a simple circle of rocks, not this very fancy, complicated one that kind of looks like a fan or the blade blade of a saw. And the best way perhaps to visualize this would be to imagine a square, and within that square we have a big circle drawn. So really, within the entire circle, which is again of rocks, you could plow very easily, and it's only all the way at the edges of the square where the circle is, that's where you would have to lift up the plow above the rocks. And so it's not so difficult to plow it, but again, it still is quite challenging because they're arranged in such a formation. So that's question number one. Does a customer have to accept these rocks? Number two, kishura mahu. What about if they're arranged in a line? Now, once again, the picture in the Rashbam is not very clear. Number one, this doesn't look like a line. It looks like a box. Number two, if the rocks were arranged like a box, it would be very difficult to plow. And so here as well, we have to really understand that the question is, let's say there's just one line of rocks going across the entire field. So every time the plow gets to it, he'd have to lift it up until he gets past this rock, which means that every single row that he's plowing would have a rock there, and that's very challenging. What's the din over there? On to our third question, itzadinin mahu. Let's say the rocks were arranged like an itzadinin. Literally, this means a stadium, and it refers to a bull's horns. That's because in stadiums, usually there's bullfighting there. Take a look at the third picture. As you see, we have our two lines, and then they're branching off, one to the right, one to the left. That kind of looks like horns. So even though the bottom part of this might not be so difficult to plow, once you get to the top where the rocks are branching out at these angles, it would be very difficult to plow over there. Much more challenging than if it was just a straight row of rocks. And lastly, derech hakolosin mahu, let's say it was a big curve. Take a look at this fourth picture in the Rashbam, where it looks like an M or a W or a very pointy capital E. And over here, if the rocks were zigzagged like this across the field, it's obviously the most challenging to plow. And so what's it did in all these situations? The Gemara concludes, teku. We have to let the question stand and wait for Eliyahu HaNavi to come and answer it. Now, continue discussing these rocks in a field. Tana, we have a brass that teaches, ima yasal yachidi, if there was just one rock, afilu kol shehu, even if it was the smallest rock, but it's right outside the border of the field, einimno de'ima, it's not measured with the field because it's right outside the border. And furthermore, vim hayasamach hametzer, if it's right next to the border, but it's within the field, afilu kol shehu, even if it's the smallest rock, einimno de'ima, it's not measured with it. The only time the customer has to accept rocks in the field is if they're completely surrounded by land, but not if they're right outside the border or even inside the border, but one side of the rock is touching the border, so it's not completely surrounded by land. Now on this, by Rav Papa asked, Mufsik offer bantayim mahu. Let's say there's a little bit of dirt in between the rock and the border. What's the din over there? Do we say that it's really just considered on the border and it's not counted as part of the field? Or since at the end of the day, there's a little bit of dirt surrounding it, it is part of the field. We conclude the question as well with teku. And by Ravashi asked, offer melamata vitsun melamala. Let's say there was dirt underneath and there's rock above, meaning the rock goes all the way up until the border, but it's not a very thick, deep rock. Right underneath it, there's dirt. Or offer melamala vitsun melamata mahu. Let's say it's the other way around, where there's dirt above it and the rock goes below it up until the border. What's it then over here? And we conclude this as well with teku. And on to another Mishnah, continue to discuss this whole idea of a base car of land being sold. The Mishnah tells us, base car offer ani marchalecha mida b'chevel. The seller told the buyer, I'm selling you a base car of land that's measured by a rope. That's what these words mida b'chevel means. It's measured by a rope. Pichas kol shehu, let's say he gave him even the smallest amount, less than a base car, yinake, he has to subtract that from the price. Heiser kol shehu, let's say he gave him even a little bit more than the base car, yachser, so that has to be returned. That's because he used the word mida b'chevel, measured with a rope. In other words, he's telling him, I'm giving you precisely a base core of dirt, not a bit less and not a bit more. However, Amar, if he said, hein chaser en yaser, whether it's less or more, or in English we say, more or less, in other words, he's giving an approximate amount, afilu pichas roiv alasa, ayohaiser roiv alasa, higiyoi. Even if there's a full roiv avakav missing per saw, or a full roiv avakav was given extra per saw, it's not a problem, it's reached him, he accepts it, meaning the buyer or the seller have to accept his loss of a roiv per saw, and again, that's because it was understood that this base core was going to be approximate. However, Yosef Mikan, if it was more than this, if there was a misjudgment of more than a quarter of a kav per saw, Yasa Cheshbin, they have to make a Cheshbin. Mahu Machshirloi, what does he return him? Mice, he gives him money. In other words, if the customer got too much, he got more than a quarter of a kav per saw extra, he has to pay for that extra amount that he received. Or if Imratza, if the seller wants Machshirloi Karka, then the buyer would have to return him the extra Karka that he got. The Mishnah asks, V'lama Amru Machshirloi Mice, why do they say that he has to return money, meaning he has to pay for the extra that he received? Why not just always say he has to give back the extra Karka he received? Why does a customer have to pay for the extra that he received? And the answer is liapas kach shalmeicher. In order to strengthen the kach shalmeicher, because let's say this extra amount that he received is not chashuv by itself. It's too small of a piece of property, and it wouldn't be worthwhile for the meicher to receive this little bit of extra property back. Therefore, we want to strengthen the kach shalmeicher by saying, "Look, Mr. Meicher, it's up to you. There was a mistake made in measurement. You can either ask for the actual property back, or if it's not enough land, so then you can ask for the money back." And the reason why this is important is because sheim shir besade beis tisha kabin. If in the field there's an area of 9 kav left over, ubegina beis chatzi kav, or in a garden, a half a kav of an area, uchadiv Rebbe Kiva, according to Rebbe Kiva, beis roiva, it's the size of a roiva, machshir leis a karka, the karka is returned, and the buyer is not forced to pay for the extra. And that's because a field the size of 9 kav is respectable, and that's something that the Meicher could be forced to take back. As opposed to if it's less than 9 Kav, as we just explained, that would be something that's not Chashuv, that's not worthwhile for the Meicher, and so it's up to him. He could either take this small piece of property back, or he could demand that the buyer pays him for this extra that he received. Now the Mishnah concludes, V'lois Rebbe Belvad Hu Machzir, Ella's Kol HaMeicher. He doesn't just return this extra bit that he received, he has to return all the extra. We already discussed this earlier, that even though we're allowed to make a mistake in measuring of a quarter of a Kav per saw, once too much of a mistake was made, everything has to be returned, not just the more than the maximum amount. We're going to stop it for a day and pick up tomorrow with the Gemara explaining the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.